enjoyed all of the singing, and I mean every song was just beautifully done and just ministered to my heart. I appreciate the work and the effort and the commitment that people put into ministering to others. I appreciate you taking the time to come and being a part of this service. I want to talk to you from the scripture. If you have your Bible, would you open it to John chapter number 3? John chapter number 3. And I've given you this outline from John 3 before, and I want to do it again, but I've got a few notes I want to give to you. And by the way, when people get a little excited about Jesus, don't let that shake you up. If you'll turn over to the final book, not tonight, at least not now, if you'll turn over to the final book of the Bible, and there's a couple of few heavenly scenes that are brought before us in John's writing there of the Revelation, and you'll find that when we get to heaven, it's going to be a lively place, rather. It's going to be lively. Now it is. There's going to be no dead spots over there. There's going to be a lot of praising God and shouting the victory. Amen. I just want you to know, just so you understand something about me. Now, I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for me. I was dead. I was in a dead spot. Dead in trespasses and sin. But God picked me up out of that spot. Amen. And he delivered me. He's placed a song in my heart and a joy in my life. And when there gets to something arcing between my heart and God's throne, it's real to me. Now, God's real to me. He's real to me in the valley. He's real to me in the journey. He's real to me on the mountaintop. God is just real to me. And I know he's real to you. And so when I'm shouting now, I'm not shouting for attention. I'm not. I do not like attention to be brought to me. If there's any attention that I'm shouting for, I want God to get the glory. Amen. I want people to know that you know what, that preacher's God must be something special. Right. He makes him act kind of strange sometimes. He gets a little loud and shouts out and carries on up there lifting his hand. What's he lifting his hand for? Well, you know, when I lift my hands, I'm either saying, Lord, I'm with you. Amen. You up there that are singing, I just want you to know, there's one person in here that's with you. Amen. I'm right there with you. Amen. And when I lift them both, it might mean I surrender all. Lord God, I surrender to you. You are worthy of my life. Amen. I'm surrendering to you. You're worthy of my life. All that I am to all that you are, Lord. All that I am. It's not much now. But God, I'm giving it all to you. And I want to keep that mindset. I want to talk to you out of a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm not going to be very long. We're going to have a candlelight ceremony here in just a moment. But I want to talk to you a little bit about John 3:16 and Christmas. John 3:16, I could probably ask how many children, and I'm not going to, so don't get nervous, children. How many children could come up here and if the preacher gave you a microphone, could quote by memory John 3:16? I'd say there'd be a lot of children in the building that could do that. And there'd be a lot of the adults and the young people and even some of us old people can still remember it. Amen? John 3:16 is a beloved verse of Scripture in the Bible. You know it. Would you say it with me? Come on, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was a lot of people. You know that beloved verse. You know, that is one verse, even before I got saved, I heard a lot about John 3:16. And some time ago when I was reading, an author brought something to my attention that I never had noticed, and so I began to kind of delve into it a little deeper and form some things around it. And I've shared it with you before. And as I prayed and asked God, and I did pray, I said, now, Lord, I want to preach what you want me to preach. And he brought me to this verse, John 3:16. I want to give you three things out of this verse about Christmas. You say Christmas? Yeah, it's about Christmas. Because in this verse, I see the God of Christmas. Notice what the scripture says here in verse number 16. For God That's the God of Christmas. The God of Christmas is not any other than this God, the one true and living God. Now, this is the God of creation. In Genesis 1, we see this God creating the world. In John 3, we see him loving the world. Aren't you glad for that? Had God just created the world, we'd all be in a mess. But I sure am glad that that same God, the God of Genesis 1, is the God of John 3. God who created the world, the God of creation, listen to me now, is the God of Christmas. Oh, you'll hear a lot about the gods of Christmas. There are no gods of Christmas. It's the God of Christmas. This God, the God of creation, is the God of Christmas. The God of creation is the God of redemption. See, I don't even know what that word means, preacher. It just means that God bought something back. See, the God of creation created in such a way that man could have dominion. And I don't know what you know about the story of mankind, but man lost that dominion. Man sinned, and he sold out in the garden. But the God of creation became the God of Christmas. And the God of creation is also the God of John chapter 3, verse 16. You know what this God is? Notice what the scripture says. For God, look at that next word. This is a word oftentimes it is overlooked. So, you know, it's one thing to love. The scripture could have said, for God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But God didn't want to put it that way. God wanted to place emphasis, and that is what this word so is. God wanted to strongly emphasize that he loves you. I've been telling our church, and many of you are from the church, I've been telling you that over the last couple of few weeks, God has really been ministering to my heart about his love. You see, brethren, this God of Christmas so loves us. And his love, now listen to me, is unconditional. I thought about this today as I was sitting at my desk. Again, just meditating on God loves me unconditionally. So what does that mean? It means that God loves me when I'm good and God loves me when I'm not. God loves me when I'm happy and God loves me when I'm not. God loves me when I'm doing right, and God loves me when I'm not. God just loves me. There's something that my mind cannot wrap around, and that is that God has always loved me. He has loved me unconditionally, but he's also loved me unceasingly. God has loved me with an everlasting love. Amen. And he always has, and he always will love me. By the way, he loves you too. That way. God loves you with an unconditional love. It's hard for me to accept that. It truly is. But God is teaching me, son, accept my love. Accept my love for you. It is unconditional. By the way, it's uncaused. I thought about this, and I was about to say this earlier. When I was sitting at my desk, I thought about a verse, and you don't have to turn there, but I do wish you'd write it down. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and it's verse number 7. And God says something like this. He, you know, in Deuteronomy, Moses is writing there, and he said, listen, children of Israel, he said, I want you to know, God doesn't love you because you're the biggest or the most. God just loves you, well, because he wants to. And I'm paraphrasing. That's what he said. See, God loving me is uncaused. Can I tell you, there's nothing in me, and before you think it through too much, I just want to remind you, there's nothing in you that calls God to love you. There's nothing in us that calls God to love us. He loved us of his own will, of his own volition. He just loves us because he wants to love us. And he always has. One of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord of old hath appeared unto me and hath said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. See, God just loves us. That's the God of Christmas. That's the God of Christmas. This God here And when it says, for God, look at it now, so loved. God, so loved. It's emphasis. I looked that word so up. You say, well, I know what so means. Well, I'd like for you to come up here and tell us what it means. It might mean more than you think it means. I wrote it down because I wanted to make sure that we got this. God said, I want to emphasize how much I love you. And so I'm going to place this little small word in there for emphasis. God so loved. It means after this manner, no more on this fashion. Are you listening? No one can love you like God loves you. As a matter of fact, no one does love you like God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave. This is a new level of love that God is loving you with and loving me with. And so who is this God of Christmas, you asked? The God of Christmas is the God of John 3:16. So do you see it? Look at it again in verse number 16. For God so loved the world, that's the God of Christmas. Aren't you glad you know him? Aren't you glad that he loves you? Now, God has many attributes, many characteristics. As a matter of fact, if you've never read the book, The Knowledge of the Holy, I encourage you to get that book and read it. A.W. Tozer is the author. The Knowledge of the Holy. Get the book. It speaks of the characteristics and the attributes of Almighty God. And of all the attributes of God, this is the one that connects God to us and us to God. God could be holy and we'd still die and go to hell. Are you listening? God could be just and we could still die and go to hell. But because God is love, now God can reach us. Now God can forgive us. Now God can communicate with us. All right? And so in John chapter 3, look at it one more time. For God, that's the God of Christmas. Now let's move to the next. I've only got three little points here. Now let's move to the next thought. We're going to move from the God of Christmas to the gift of Christmas. Not gifts. I want to make that very clear. While there are many gifts that can be exchanged among men, God says here, I give you a gift. As a matter of fact, it's used in its singular form over and over when it speaks of Christ. Romans 3:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so what we're dealing with here is the gift. And I want you to understand that we're dealing with the gift of God. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 15, but thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Aren't you glad for the gift that keeps on giving? It is the gift of Jesus Christ. Notice it here in this verse. For God, that's the God of Christmas, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's the gift right there. There's no gift like that gift. Amen. There's no gift like Jesus. Can I tell you, it's the greatest gift. Why is it the greatest gift? Because it meets your greatest need. The greatest need that man has is the forgiveness of sin. And the only way man can have forgiveness of sin is through Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The gift of God. The gift of Christmas. So this year, as you have opened up your gifts, many of you, possibly all of you, have opened up your many gifts, and I'm glad that you can give and receive gifts. I'm in no way trying to be negative toward the gift given or exchanging. I'm just saying that the greatest gift has already been given. All right? This gift, according to the Bible, and I want you to listen to this, according to the Bible, this gift is unparalleled. In Mark chapter number 8, Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? this gift is unparalleled. There's no gift like this gift. It has no equal. This gift is unmerited. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's unmerited. There's nothing you can do to earn this gift. We certainly don't deserve this gift, but God has given it. That's why it's a gift, because He has chosen to give it. It's unparalleled, it's unmerited, it's unlimited. Aren't you glad for that? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're all in need of this gift. But I'm glad that this gift has been made available to us all. Amen. See, it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's 1 Timothy 2:4. God wants everyone to be saved. If you're not saved, it's not because God didn't purchase the gift and offer the gift to you. Amen. Because God is not willing, 2 Peter 2:9, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, God wants you to be saved. God wants all men to be saved. And so this gift is unlimited. It has no limit. When someone tells you or starts speaking to you about something, about limited atonement, you cut them off immediately and you tell them, well, my Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, this gift is for all. Look at the verse here again in John 3 again. He said that whosoever believeth, whosoever meaneth you, my friend, whosoever meaneth anyone that will receive this gift. Now here's my last point on this and we'll move to our final. So we see in this verse of scripture the God of Christmas. What a God He is. Amen. Amen. And then we see the gift of Christmas. What a gift that is. What a gift He is. This gift is unparalleled. It's unmerited. It's unlimited. But now don't let it go unclaimed. Because if you do not receive this gift and die without this gift, you will die in your sin, and unfortunately for you, you will go to hell. John 1 verse 11 says, He came into His own and His own received Him not. Verse 12 says, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. To them that what? Receive Him. Don't let the gift go unreceived. Receive the gift. Receive the gift. Now, gift giving has a special little niche to it, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. Some people are great gift givers. I don't know that I would consider myself a great gift giver. I'm a great gift receiver. Some people just know how to buy gifts. I mean, it just sounds like they know what you need. I've got a few of those in my family. I really do. I mean, they're just really good gift givers. They are. And they would probably tell you if you got them far enough away from me to hear, they'd probably tell you he's not a very good gift giver. Now, what do I mean by that? I want you to think about this. Do you have someone like that in your family? I mean, they're just good. They're just good at giving gifts. They're just good at it. Now, those that you might not consider, that doesn't mean they don't care. It doesn't mean... But here's what I consider a good gift giver. And as you think about this, I want you to think about this gift, and then we'll move to our final point. Now think about gift giving. I know you have at least one of these in your family. You may be that one. A good gift giver, they do the research. They care about you. They watch what you do, and they see what you need, and they just pay close attention to you. See, that's why God's a good gift giver. That's why His gifts are so good. Especially this gift. That's why this gift is so good. Because God takes interest and He watches and he knows and He sees. And so they care and they watch and they take inventory and they see what you need so that they can get the perfect gift. Not only a good gift giver does that, but a good gift giver is willing to pay the price. It doesn't matter. They're willing to put in the work and to pay the price. Can I tell you that God put in the work? And He paid the price. Amen. What a gift giver God is. Amen. What a gift giver this God of Christmas is. If you don't know anything about this gift that I speak to you about, I pray that you'd give it some consideration. You're missing the greatest gift at Christmas that could ever be received.
Amen.
The greatest gift is the Christmas gift of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what this is all about.
Amen.
So the God of Christmas, for God so loved the world, the gift of Christmas, that he gave his only begotten Son. Now here's the last point, the glory of Christmas. That whosoever, you know, while we're in here smiling and lifting our hands and shouting amen, or tears running down our cheeks, because there's some glory involved in what we're doing tonight.
Amen.
There's some glory. Heaven, listen, there is a wind that blows through from another country when people meet together in this cause and for this reason to worship this God of Christmas who has given the gift of Christmas. There's something about it. It brings about the glory of Christmas. And the glory of what the Christmas season is all about is that men, women, boys, and girls can believe on him and have everlasting life. Isn't that glorious?
Amen. Amen.
Now listen, if you don't, the opposite of glory is agony. And there is an agony in that verse, and I don't want to spend too much time there, but I want you to know that it's very real and it's very possible, if you do not know Jesus, that you will die in your sin and go to hell. Now, I'll tell you this. As long as you still have breath, that's why it's just possible. It's going to be positive if you die in the condition that you're in, unsaved. It's going to be positive that you will die and go to hell. But now let's back up a little bit and talk about this glory before I bring this to a close. The glory of Christmas. Remember when you received Jesus as your Savior? It's almost like opening those gifts as a child, isn't it? I mean, remember the thrill? Remember the joy? Remember the excitement? I tell you, when I got saved, I was telling everybody. I got saved. I didn't really understand all that was happening to me, but I just wanted to tell somebody. Something big's happened to me. I didn't understand it. And I've told you many times before, it was a few months later, and then I realized, it's like God just whispered in my soul, son, you've gotten into something big. I said, amen. I didn't realize how big it was. This is a big deal, amen. I'm telling you, what I've gotten into, it's bigger than Virginia. I'm telling you, it's bigger than the United States. Brethren, this that we're a part of, this is a universal glory. This is a universal thing. It's worldwide. These flags in the back, they represent mission works that we are partnering with. This message, this God of Christmas that has given the gift of Christmas wants to share the glory of Christmas around the world, that men, women, boys, and girls might know what it is to believe on him and have eternal life. What a glorious thing it is. I'm so glad that I'm a part of this. I wouldn't exchange this. God knows my heart. I wouldn't exchange this for nothing. I am so thankful to God that he removed the scales from my blinded eyes, drew me to himself by the power of his Holy Spirit, saved me by his grace, and delivered me from the life that I was wrapped up in. Set my feet upon a solid rock. Placed a song in my lips. Even praise to my Lord. And I want to serve him with all of my heart. How about you? The God of Christmas. The gift of Christmas. The glory of Christmas. Christmas is a wonderful time of year. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and it is because of John 3:16 and the message of this old blessed book. Amen? Amen. Would you just bow your head with me for a moment? We're going to take just a moment, and I want to give you an opportunity as we quieten ourselves now and we're still before the Lord. Are you here today? And maybe you know the God of Christmas. Maybe you do. And maybe you've received the gift of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Himself. And while you know the glory of Christmas because you have everlasting life, the glow of Christmas is missing in your heart because you're not what you should be as a child of God. Oh, you're saved, and I'm glad you are. But that communion is not strong. The light is flickering. The embers are low. Something has robbed you of your joy. It could be jealousy. It doesn't have to be vice that we think of. Could be jealousy. Oh, I can't tell you the eyes that I've looked in the last few days and seen jealousy, envy. Some even sitting here tonight, it's written all over you, my friend. Envy, jealousy, robbing you, stripping you of your joy. Let me let them know that I'm jealous and envious, and so they can know that I'm upset. Well, you're the one paying for that, no one else. God is watching. God, speak to your heart. How long are you going to allow the devil to rob you of your joy? Of the flesh to stroke your ego? Why don't you come clean and get right with God tonight so that you can have the joy of the Lord restored in your heart? Would you give that some consideration? Not for my good, not for the good of others, but for your good. And while Christians are considering that, I wonder if there's someone here that would say, you know, preacher, as you was preaching tonight, I realized that I don't know this God of Christmas. I have not received the gift of Christmas. And therefore, I do not know anything about the glory of Christmas. I realize that I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved, and I want you to pray for me. Is there anyone like that? Just slip your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass anyone here tonight. Anyone. Okay. Father, I preach the message you laid on my heart. And I believe this service is going exactly the way you ordained it. There is a purpose. And so I pray that you would speak to our hearts, draw us closer to yourself. Help us, Lord, to walk in fellowship with you as we walk in the light. In Jesus' name.